We've been speaking the last couple of weeks about the way that halacha developed and the way halacha works. We spoke the first week about the way that which we've shown and we paskin like. Last week we spoke about the impact of the Shulchan Aruch, the way the Shulchan Aruch has learned and the authority Shulchan Aruch has, and some debates amongst Achronim regarding that. What we're going to speak about today is the Mishnah Berurah. There are many Sfarim and that Sifrei Halacha have been written in the last 100-plus years, and we have spoken about them in the past as far as the authority of the Mishnah Berurah as opposed to the Aruch HaShulchan. I want to speak today primarily about the Mishnah Berurah to understand the methodology of the Mishnah Berurah. What was the Chavetz Chaim doing? The more we understand what he's doing and what he didn't do, the more we'll be able to appreciate just how good of a sefer it is, why it's so significant, and we'll speak hopefully also a little bit about what he didn't do. You'll see. I mean, as a cover to him, or as a factual way, or just factually. But we'll see also some of the impact of the Mishnah Berurah and the way that it works. The goal is to get a better appreciation not only for the sefer Mishnah Berurah, but also how you could learn Mishnah Berurah in a way which will be all the more meaningful. So let's begin as follows. What I initially intended to say, the Mishnah Berurah is not on all of Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah is only on Aruch Chaim. It's only on the first chelik of Shulchan Aruch. There are six volumes, though, of Mishnah Berurah. It deals primarily with the halachos that most often come up in day-to-day living. Chavetz Chaim writes that a lot of the reason why we're in this world is to learn Torah, b'mekayim mitzvot. The mitzvot which come up most often are the mitzvot that are in Aruch Chaim. Hua yoser muktam lelimva. It's the first thing which a person should learn. Heim nitzrachim lemaisa. That's that which is so relevant for a person's life. Why is he writing Mishnah Berurah? So he wants to write it to make it as relevant, or he's writing it because on Aruch Chaim because it's relevant. But why exactly is he writing it? So it's as follows. Lemaisa, a lot of sfarim that are written, a lot of sifrei halacha. But there are two primary reasons why he wants to write Mishnah Berurah. Reason number one, the Sefer Shulchan Aruch, if you don't know the background, we spoke last week about the Ma'aral and the Marsha, if a person doesn't know the background of the halachas and paskening based on Shulchan Aruch, how difficult that can be. So Shulchan Aruch says it's even hard to understand, really, and to get a real understanding of what's going on if I learn Shulchan Aruch and don't have a good insight in terms of what the reasoning is behind what's going on. So he says if a person learns Shulchan Aruch and doesn't really know, well, is it a Din D'oraisa or a Din D'rabbanan? What's the reasoning behind it? They could very easily make mistakes when things come up. They could paskin incorrectly. And it's very, very, and many people don't have that background to know all the sources. And says the Chavetz Chaim, and even if you would say, but I'm going to go and learn all of the Makoros all the way from the beginning, he says, it's very, very hard to find people who are capable of learning all this in Shulchan Aruch, from the original Makoros and all the way down with all the Achronim on Shulchan Aruch, and to be able to do a good job and to really tackle that, that is something which requires, so he said, some simanim even take. Kama yamim v'lefamim kama shavuos. It's going to be weeks you're spending on one siman in Shulchan Aruch to do as good a job as you could do. That's something which is very, very difficult. He says another challenge in learning Shulchan Aruch without a sefer like Mishnah Berurah is that I learned Shulchan Aruch. And now there are no sekelim on Shulchan Aruch. So I'm very excited. I can look in a Magen Avraham and a Taz. I can look in a Reb Kivi Eger and a Prima Gadim and other things like that. Problem is there are so many machloksim. So how do I know what I do? So I'm opening up a Shulchan Aruch, but it's supposed to tell me what to do. But even though Shulchan Aruch is supposed to give me like the summary of what we do in the Ramah for Ashkenazim, there are so many situations that come up where there are machloksim about newer cases or other cases in the Magen Avraham and the Taz, the Eli Rabba and the Levush. I don't know what to do. So because I don't know what to do, so I have to make sure I have a sefer which is going to collect and organize things. So what is Mishnah Berurah at its core? So Mishnah Berurah at its core is he realized there are so many mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch, so many that have come out since it was last done to summarize all of them. So on Shulchan Aruch, he points out, I'm going to collect what you find in Achronim, what you find in a list a bit here, of the Bach, Teresa, Prisha, Eli Rabba, Bira, Grub, Primagadin, Berkiosev, and Mordechai, Mati Yehuda, Narsham, Dagom Rabba, Ber Hate, Tarchuva, Shulchan Aruch Shel, Agor Zalman, Alter Rebbe, Lubusi Shrad, Shulchan Shlomo, Terachai, Husu Kriyeger, Yusuf Yaakov, Chai Adam, Achashakam, Giborim, Arthur Chai, Rabbis Kahena, Vigam, Kamikama, Sifre Shud. So it's really hard to find all those things on your own. And to learn every simon, looking up all those simon, is going to be very, very difficult. What he tries to do is he collects them for you. He tells you at the end, this is the maskana, this is more or less what we hold. And that way, the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah, is going to be able to collect and make your limit of Shulchan Aruch a sefer which you can, number one, now learn better, there are so many things that require a hesber. I can now learn it better, understand it better. I can learn more efficiently. I can now know what do the Achronim say without having to look up every Magen Avraham and every Taz and every Primer Gadim and every Kivi Eger and every all the other Achronim he mentioned before. So I have to be able to, I'll be able to learn better in that way. I'll learn more efficiently. And Tachlis, I won't make mistakes. I won't make mistakes the same way. I won't make mistakes the same way. There are some theories as to why he didn't write on Yoredeya, why he ran other sections of Shulchan Aruch, other sections of Shulchan Aruch. One, as an example, they quote in the Ovdus Manhagos the Beis Brisk, Chelik Aleph, page 144, Rav Michal Feinstein said that Rav Aaron Kuller once asked the Chavetz Chaim, we really need a Mishnah Berurah also on Yoredeya. The Chavetz Chaim said, the Rav Aaron Shalom would give me 30 more years, I think I'd be good to go with that one also. But it takes years, and something which is very, very challenging. Other theories also as to why not, but undoubtedly that's part of its goal. What Sfarim does Shulchan Aruch, does Mishnah Berurah quote, and what Sfarim does he not quote? Here's going to be something which is very important to know in terms of what issues are going to be found in Mishnah Berurah, what issues are just not part of his goal. So what's interesting, and this some point out, is that the Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah does quote classic sort of like Litvish Achronim. He quotes Sfarim like the Birkei Yosef of the Chidah, which are Sfarim of Sfardi Halacha. So he quotes also from Sfardim. He quotes hundreds of times from Shulchan Aruch HaRav, the Alter Rebbe Shulchan Aruch. So even though on the one hand, he is not quoting like consistently like Chassidish Minhagim, and he's not quoting Achronim really like post-Achidah, Professor Benjamin Brown points out, he's not quoting like lots of he is still as a whole giving you what you find in certain Sfari Sfarim, in certain Ashkenazi Sfarim, by some of the Chassidim, and he's trying in many ways that he's giving you an overview of Achronim. So one of the reasons why it becomes so popular, because he's really quoting a wide range of sources. And when you quote a wide range of sources, so that's part of what's going to give the Mishnah Berurah, can contribute to its popularity. What does he not quote, really? What does he really not quote so much? So here are a couple things that are very, very important to know. It's probably two or three things that we would note. Number one, if you picked up on it when the Mishnah Berurah wrote it, he does sometimes quote Sfarim that are Shiles and Tshuva Sfarim, but most of what you find in Mishnah Berurah are from Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch. Obviously, Gemara and Rishonim also, when you learn to be a halacha, but a lot of the Achronim he's quoting are Achronim on Shulchan Aruch. Or in the Levush, but really on Shulchan Aruch. He's not quoting like Tshuva is the Chasam Sofer, that you know, he's not consistently quoting every relevant Tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, not consistently quoting all the Tshuvas that have been written in that era also. That's not Tshuva. The Adi Nezer, that's not what you're finding there in Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah as much. It's really quoting that, which means, number one, that there may be something. So it may be the best sefer at opening up the world of Shulchan Aruch. But what's a benefit of the sefer Piskei Tshuvos? So one benefit, aside from its modern-day piece, one benefit is he quotes some of the other Achronim that are writing Tshuvas, and no Debi Yehuda, that maybe I wouldn't have come across just from learning Mishnah Berurah. What else does he not quote so much? So this Professor Benjamin Brown wrote an article about the Chavetz Chaim where he points out two additional things. Number one, the Chavetz Chaim does not really speak that much about modern-day contemporary issues found in his time, even a little bit before. So as an example, he doesn't speak about machine matzahs or machine-made tzitzis. He doesn't speak about trains on Shabbos. A lot of what he's doing is summarizing the Sifrei Halacha that come before in a very innovative way we'll speak about in a minute. But he's not getting into many of the really cutting-edge contemporary shailas you find in Shailas and Tshuva Sfarim. He's writing things that are all relevant l'maisa, but not bringing in some of the more like newer kinds of shailas, not speaking about as much. The other thing he does very, very rarely is quote people who were alive in his generation. Quotes of Meir Simcha of Divinsk, the Orson Meach in one context, but not consistently quoting the people of his generation. But what it does do as a sefer, and this is why it's so critical, is it really gives you, on the one hand, for someone, as he writes in the beginning, who can't learn all of Shulchan Aruch, all of Sfarim, he gives you, it's an amazing compilation. It's pulling together lots of different achronim. He's telling you what the mainstream psak is. We have a lot more to say about this, but it's something which is really, you know, really important. Rosenzweig loves, I don't know if he loves pointing, but Rosenzweig, I remember hearing him point out many times that the Mishnah Berurah does something else also. If you learn a sugya well, and I did learn the sugya from the Gemara and the Rishonim, and I learned Shulchan Aruch with Nosei Kalim, and then you learn Mishnah Berurah, so I remember Rosenzweig pointing out a couple of times, then you really appreciate even more the godless of the Mishnah Berurah. To see what he took from the Taz, and what he took from the Magen Avraham, and how he summarized, and how he analyzed the Rishonim, and how he was able to do it in a particular way. So that is something which is critically important. So the Mishnah Berurah is really a sefer which is written, on the one hand, for those that couldn't learn everything on their own, which is really the vast majority, even of Rabbanim, that couldn't learn everything from the beginning all the way down. He's writing a sefer for people that need insight to get through Mishnah Berurah, to get through Shulchan Aruch, etc. But it's also a sefer which is valuable even for bigger Talmidei Chachamim who maybe have gone through those things, Gedolei Olam, who have gone through everything. So Mishnah Berurah becomes a sefer for them also, the way he packages and the way he puts it together. Now, part of the innovation of Mishnah Berurah, this is a frustrating thing sometimes, but part of the godless of it, it's also in the same article, which is an amazing Hara. There were many Sfarim that were written for big Talmidei Chachamim, and there are many Sfarim that were written for people that didn't have the same background. Many of the Sifrei Halacha that were written for people that didn't have the same background were written as stand-alone Sfarim. So Kitter Shulchan Aruch and Chayei Adam are written as independent Sfarim. You read it from the beginning, you go all the way. Most of the Sfarim that were written for bigger Talmidei Chachamim, or not many, but there were many Sfarim that were written for bigger Talmidei Chachamim that were written as Pirushim on Shulchan Aruch. So Magen Avraham is writing for Talmidei Chachamim, so Prima Gadim. So on Shulchan Aruch and Magen Avraham, you would look at the Prima Gadim if you were really sort of holding. It wasn't a statement that was written for the average person that wanted like a bit of an overview. The Mishnah Berurah is somewhat unique in that it is a sefer written for the average person to be able to learn halacha, but it's on Shulchan Aruch. So you're still getting Shulchan Aruch. That creates some of the challenge sometimes of like matching up like the siman and what's he going on. But what it does do is it brings you much more into the process of it being on Shulchan Aruch and seeing what does Shulchan Aruch say and what does Ramah say. And therefore, you know, what's in the Mishnah Berurah? What do the Achronim add? What do the Achronim add beyond that? What do the Achronim add beyond that? So part of it in Mishnah Berurah, to be aware of, in terms of what he does, it's all those Achronim, some Chassidim, some Sfarim, etc. It is an attempt at giving you, it's an attempt at giving you Psak, if everything. It is an attempt, it does not deal with, though at the same time, that much with Tshuvas. Does not deal as much with modern-day shaylas, some of the really again, relevant shaylas that Achronim spoke about, he speaks about all the time, but some of the more contemporary, cutting-edge shaylas, you find a little bit less, and Rabbanim of his generation, he tends to quote not as much. That's at least some of it. There are other questions about the Derech HaLimud of the Mishnah Berurah, which is important to pay attention to. I'm going to mention two very briefly, and elaborate on a third, which I think is critically important, to understand when you learn Mishnah Berurah, and to not understand it would really make it difficult to take things out l'maisa. Point number one, we spoke about last year, the Mishnah Berurah has like an interesting relationship to quoting Kabbalistic Sfarim. Kabbalah as a source of halachic practice. Most of the time when the Mishnah Berurah quotes something from Kabbalah, so he almost never quotes the Kabbalah. He'll quote the Arizal, but almost never quote the Kabbalah. And he will almost always only quote the Kabbalah, the practices that are found in the Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch. So if the Magen Avraham quotes something that comes from Kisei Ha'ari, so the Mishnah Berurah is not going to be done in what the Arizal writes al pi Kabbalah, but he will at times quote now. Will it, as he writes in Siman Chaf Hei, will it trump Torah HaNiglet? No. But when there's a machlokes, will he at times quote Minhagim that come from Sifrei Kabbalah, Kisei Ha'ari? The answer is yes. But typically, without focusing as much on the Kabbalah, and typically only those things that come and are in the classical Mefarshim on Shulchan Aruch, but Kabbalah does play somewhat of a role. What role does Minhag play in Shulchan Aruch, in Mishnah Berurah, sorry? What role does the Minhag HaOlam play? So here you have a bit of a debate. Most famously, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, who is the Rav's son. Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik wrote a very, very well-known and famous article, Rupture and Reconstruction, where he maintains the following. It's a distinction which many quote. Whether it's everyone agrees to it is not always so clear. But he knows the following, and this is very important to know as far as our own halachic observance. There are two real sources of halacha in terms of a person in his day-to-day life. There are two primary ways that a person knows what to do. One way I know what to do is by looking in text. I know what to do because I'm looking in Sfarim. And because I'm looking in Sfarim, so therefore I know what to do. And therefore, I can learn from a Shulchan Aruch, from a Mishnah Berurah. The other way that I know what to do, halacha l'maaseh, is by seeing what do people do around me. I was brought up in a frum community, and I see what's the minhag where I am. That's why we speak sometimes when you're learning halacha seder. So it's always good if you're learning a halacha and it seems like it's different than what you're used to, is to figure out, like, you know, what's going on here. It's a good time to ask, to look into what's going on there, because sometimes it's, yeah, Mr. Brewer says that, and the minhag is different, Rav Moshe holds differently, things like that. Sometimes it's, I mean, maybe you're just wrong and you have to follow Mr. Brewer, but that's at least part of it. The role of minhag. Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik maintains the following. Here's the back end of the article. Something came out, I think, this week, even, like, assessing the article. But just pay attention for a minute. It's very important. His biggest claim in the article is that from Europe to America, that when the shtetls in Europe suddenly were no longer, a major shift occurred. That in Europe, the primary way that you would know what to do was by what you did in your family and what your community did. There was a deep sense of Mesorah, a deep sense of Minhag, and that was something in many ways, which if you look in the Aruch HaShulchan, we spoke about this in the past, certain poskim, like the Eretz HaTzvi, the Kasha Glover, who go out of their way to really justify the Minhag of whatever's done when you have a tension between text and Minhag, but guys in the Balei Tosfos and others, that's part of it. And he suggests that when people come to America, so part of what happens to America is a breakdown of that same sense of communal structure. And a breakdown in America of, it's not like this is the, many communities are made up of lots of different kinds of people, and it's hard to know what's really the minhag, what isn't the minhag, and it's hard to know exactly what to do. And it becomes to be a bit of a shift, which is a shift away from knowing what to do based on what is done commonly where I am, to suddenly it becomes, what does it say in Svarim? And many times what it says in Svarim is not what's found in the minhag. Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik happens to maintain that the Mishneh Berurah is the one who is less concerned with what the minhag ha'olam is. It has lost independent status. For him, what matters most for the Mishneh Berurah is what does it say in Svarim? What does it say in Svarim? And for him, there's less of a focus on, well, what was the minhag often done, but rather, what does it say in Lama Mefarshim? And that's one of the reasons why the Mishneh Berurah becomes so significant, is because the Mishneh Berurah is someone that that gives, where maybe you don't have minhagim that are as clear. So the Mishneh Berurah plays a dominant role in telling you what's in Svarim. Those who have more dominant minhagim, so you follow those dominant minhagim, you may be, you know, that may impact what the Mishneh Berurah does. As chazor we've said so far, and one additional point which I think is really important. We spoke with Mishneh Berurah, Chavetz Chaim writes it because it's hard to pass in halacha. Otherwise, it's hard for us, hard to know what to do with all the achronim, with all the machloksim, hard to do with that, all the reasoning, and his goal is to give you a little bit of everything, and to give you enough you can understand well, paskin competently, and be able to make your way through. We spoke about how the Chavetz Chaim does an amazing job giving you these mefarshim Shulchan Aruch, organizing and putting them together. If you learn the sugya, the godless of the Chavetz Chaim, but there are things, like anyone, no one can quote everything, and there are some of the newer shilohs, and there are some questions about some of the shilohs in Shuvah Sfarim that maybe are not quoted as often, but the Mishneh Berurah is quoting Mefarshim and Shulchan Aruch. Mishneh Berurah becomes, maybe we'll think a little bit, the Posek Achron. As far as methodology, Kabbalah we spoke about a little bit. We referenced that briefly. Second thing was the realm of Minhag. The third thing to figure out, which I think is in many ways the most complicated, is Mishneh Berurah as a Machmir. Mishneh Berurah is a Machmir. What's really hard to know about Mishneh Berurah, and again, the same academic, Benjamin Brown, in a different article, pointed this out, which I think is very, very helpful, is what he refers to as soft stringency. Is the Mishneh Berurah machmir or mekel? Does the Mishneh Berurah always give you maskanas? So if I just read the Hakdama, I would think a lot of the goal is to give me the maskana of the achronim. But the Mishneh Berurah often, like probably hundreds of times, does something a little bit in between, which is he'll quote a machlokas, and he will then say something along the lines of, v'hamachmir tavo lav bracha, v'yirashamayim, you know, you should be machmir. And what he will do is he will have lines that are sort of creating, it looks like he's being pretty machmir, and in many ways it looks like what the Mishneh Berurah is doing is saying, telling you in general, try to be machmir for multiple opinions. It's good to be machmir for more opinions. One thing though, this is why he called it soft stringency, where Chavetz Chaim doesn't really tell us, and in many ways he leaves it up to the reader to figure out, wait a minute, so Yerushalayim have to be machmir. So where am I? Where am I? Now, in a certain sense, if it's like a Musar Shabuz, it's like, are you a Yerushalayim? You know, that's like one kind of an angle, you know, and there we'd all like to really aspire to be in the category of Yerushalayim. But part of the question with what the Mishneh Berurah is doing, though, in truth, with some of these things, is telling you, I want to clarify what the Ikar Hadin is, I want to clarify what the mainstream Shita is, but the Mishneh Berurah is also giving you the opening for those who are a bit more ambitious, maybe for those who are even more elite, there's people who are really at a certain madrega to be able to say sometimes, that's a chumrah, which I'm going to now keep. But it's not the Mishnah Berurah telling you, you know, be machmir or be mekel. The Mishnah Berurah often does it in much more of a soft way, which means that when you're learning Mishnah Berurah, aside from getting this feeling for what's the reason behind the halacha, what's the maskana, and things like that, but what the Mishnah Berurah does sometimes is, again, he creates a kind of situation where you will feel like you have a degree of independence to be able to figure out, so now what category are you in? And there are different, you know, you'll hear even shmuas about who's in which category as far as who can and who can't do it. The Mishnah Berurah becomes, this we'll reference very, very briefly, the Mishnah Berurah becomes, the Chazon Ish writes in the letter, what he refers to as the Posek Acharon. The same way that the Shulchan Aruch achieves a unique status, all else being equal, that's where we go. So also the Mishnah Berurah achieves a certain kind of status. The Mishnah Berurah becomes what's referred to sometimes as a Posek Acharon. Not everyone is thrilled with that designation. Rav Henkin, maybe Rav Moshe, and others maintained that it could be it's a more appropriate title for the Aruch HaShulchan. Maybe all else being equal, we should go like the Aruch HaShulchan. Certainly Rav Henkin was in that camp. But the Mishnah Berurah, for the vast majority, becomes the standard sefer. Now, there are two additional things to know about Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah becomes the standard sefer. However, the way the Chazon Ish, who calls it Posek Acharon, the Chazon Ish at times does argue with Mishnah Berurah. Well, if he's a Posek Acharon, how can the Chazon Ish argue with the Mishnah Berurah? So the answer is because the Mishnah Berurah is, all else being equal, that's the person who wins. But could there be individual sugyas, individual psakim, where a person would argue with the Mishnah Berurah? The answer is undoubtedly yes. So even if the Mishnah Berurah has a status of Posek Acharon, there will be situations where we may not paskin exactly like it. It makes it challenging to know sometimes. So I'm learning Mishnah Berurah. Do I always paskin like it or not? It is Posek Acharon. But the Chazon Ish has his comments on the Mishnah Berurah where he sometimes argues with the Mishnah Berurah. So part of it's figuring out it is the Posek Acharon, but Lav Dafka always, Akadekach, do we always? It's one of the challenges. The other thing to know about Mishnah Berurah is because some of the more modern shayles are not quoted there, especially those shayles which took place after the 1930s are obviously not there because Chatzchaim is already nifter. That's why you have this new sort of desire of a Dirshu Mishnah Berurah and a Piskei Tshuvos and some others which are written on the Mishnah Berurah. Why is it written on the Mishnah Berurah? Because part of what's happening is the Mishnah Berurah is still that safer and no one's challenging that. So just like the Mishnah Berurah decided to write on the Shulchan Aruch instead of writing his own Sefer, so in the Dirshu, in the Piskei Tshuvos, the goal is writing it on the Mishnah Berurah. And there's an understanding that to really know the Halacha, maybe some of the things that come up nowadays, it's not enough just to know Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah, but have to know, you know, a little bit even more than that. We referenced a couple of weeks ago the debate in Ger's Chassidus nowadays, the current Rebbe, Anav Shaul Alter, relates to like how much more maybe, or part of the Derech Halimah question, was just Mishnah Berurah or some of the newer stuff. But as far as Mishnah Berurah becomes for the Chazon Ish and for many others, Posek Acharon. Not everyone buys that. I've spoken about more in the past. The Sefer Mishnah Berurah is critical. It gives you an opening to being able to understand Shulchan Aruch. It is an authority in terms of the capacity to bring down so many different Acharonim, so many Rishonim in different Sugyas, to give you the reasoning behind things, to give you understanding and insight into new cases that have come up. And what you find in the Gedolei HaAchronim, that's what you really have in Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah becomes a dominant sefer in that sense. As you learn it, being aware of the fact that sometimes there may be tension between Minhag and what the Chafetz Chaim says, and being aware of the fact that there may be newer shilohs that have come up that is important for people to pay attention to be aware of some of these machloksim. Because the Mishnah Berurah becomes so dominant, what you find also, which is a wild idea, you find Sfarim like the Aruch HaShulchan that get published with Piskei Mishnah Berurah in the bottom. And some of the other halachas Sfarim, you start telling you, just know Mishnah Berurah argues here. And Rav Eitav Henkin and others weren't so happy about that. No, Aruch HaShulchan stands on his own. But because the Mishnah Berurah becomes a critical sefer, it ends up becoming sort of on all of those other Sfarim in a way which is very, very important. Hopefully we gain some insight in terms of the Mishnah Berurah, his own methodology and the way he works, to be able to appreciate why it's significant, why even like, you know, Eli has by his sefer, like even for Sfaradim, like quoting like some of the new Sfari Tshuvas on Mishnah Berurah, because Mishnah Berurah itself becomes critical sefer, which people are all learning from different vantage points. Hopefully that was helpful. Let's speak a little bit about